May you be blessed by today's program as we lift our voices to declare, souls are crying, men are dying, we must do all we can at any cost to win the lost while there is still time and liberty. The message you will hear today, "Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?" is a clarion call of the Holy Spirit, and it came forth under a heavy burning anointing. And I pray you will be touched by the same anointing as you hear this word of the Lord today. And I'll be back to tell you how to order our message, "Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up?"
And my standard is not Apostle the Great One. My standard is not so-and-so or so-and-so or so-and-so. My standard is Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah! Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the pure one. He's the perfect one. Because you get your eyes on someone, and I've done it before in the past. There were certain evangelists I loved. I couldn't wait for their show to come on. I hung on every word they preached, and they preached the truth. This one I had in mind, nobody preached better than him. I mean, he preached it hot, heavy, down the line. I loved it. I got his magazine. I would devour it. I would take notes. And this person had a huge, huge moral fall. And, you know, I was devastated. When it first came out, I said, no, I refuse to believe it. I said it was the media, they had made it up, and it was some campaign. I refused to believe it until I saw him himself say, "I have sinned," with tears coming down his face, and I thought, oh, my Lord and my God. You know, it really upset me. Now, did it make me going to quit the Lord? No, because my salvation wasn't in the sky. But I can see where babies in Christ and people that are on the don't know yet, I can see where it threw them for a loop. And this person did not commit the unpardonable sin. It was forgivable. God forgave them. They preached the gospel again. But here's the thing about it, is the damage and the fallout that it does. Amen? It can happen to any of us. So we've got to not put our eyes on a preacher. Everybody has their favorite preachers. Come on, tell the truth. And you know what? If you like the way somebody preaches better than somebody else, that's your personal prerogative. Now, you still support and love the other preachers. You love them too and you support them, but there's some that just kind of get it. And you love to hear them preach. But don't ever put people up on a pedestal. Amen? Don't ever put a preacher on a pedestal. Because I guarantee you, preachers have a bigger target on their back. Because if the devil can get a preacher to mess up, just like I just talked about, he can cause many people to get shook up. And the worst thing is it brings a reproach to the name of Jesus to those who don't know. Amen? And so we've got to be pure even as he is pure. And the way that we do that is by the washing of the water of the word. You know, every now and then you need a message like this to give you a good spiritual bath. I'm going to tell you, I didn't decide on this message until yesterday. I've been trying to get a sweet family message. Family, friends, I want to be friendly. I want to be family. I want to be nice. I want to message everybody in love. And I don't know how many I started, and okay, let's start over again. About four or five of them. I got piles of notes halfway done. And the Lord kept bringing me back to this. And yesterday, now I don't always advise you to do this, but yesterday I said, now Lord, if I know I have the message you want, I'm good. Because then I know when I get out there, you'll anoint it. If I try to do one I chose, we might get by, but it ain't going to be. I tell you, there's an anointing here today. And I literally took about six messages, put them in a pile, closed my eyes, mixed them all up. God is my witness. I reached in and pulled out and I looked at it. And it said, "Will the real Christian please stand up?" After that, all the stress, all the worry, all the nerves, all the anxiety was gone. Because I knew that once the Holy Ghost had what he wanted, he would do the job. Amen? And I'm here to tell you that God is saying it's time to have your heart purified, that you have clean hands, that Paul said, I would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands without doubt, without wrath, and without disputing. Now, we could preach a whole day just on that, but we won't. We got to get rid of all our disputations. We got to get rid of all of our arguing and all of that strife and all of our envy and all of our jealousy, because we can't lift up clean hands if we got that stuff going on. Amen. And what did we read here? He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. He shall receive righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of real Christians. Amen. Who walk in these things. All right. The companion scripture for Psalm 24 is Psalm 15. So I always read these two together. You know, when I was in school, we still had Bible reading every morning. And we always read from the Psalms. And they had like 5 or 6 Psalms that we read from every day and repeated them. And 15 and 24 were two of them. These have been in my spirit since a little child. And I think to myself, they don't have that in school anymore. Who's thinking about having clean hands and pure hearts? Nobody. But let's read Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then he answers his question. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Now, altogether, he's going to give 11 qualifications, and we're not going to park on all of them because we'd be here too long. But now that's the good things he does. These are the things he doesn't do. He backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. These are things he doesn't do. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and changes not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. So he walks uprightly, he works righteousness, he speaks the truth in his heart. I think we've pretty well covered that. He does not backbite with his tongue. He's not a backstabber. You don't backbite. Before you backbite against your neighbor, you bite your own tongue. When you get ready to say something, bite your own tongue. And you only have to do that a few times. And then the thought of it will be all you have to do. You won't have to bite. Amen? He doesn't do evil to his neighbor. He doesn't take up a reproach. He doesn't join in others. And here's the important one. I want to see the number 7 and 8. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. We live in a day, and we never thought it could happen, but the prophet said, men will call good evil and evil good. You can be a scoundrel, and if you're charismatic, people will just say, he's a jolly good fella. They don't care what kind of life you live. They don't care if you've been caught lying. You've been caught telling this side one thing and the other side another thing. They don't care. If you're charismatic and you've got a way with words and you can just speak great oratory things, and people will just latch on to you. And someone else that can be speaking truth and righteousness and godly things, and they'll just and talk about, that's the day that we live in. And people don't realize that one of the reasons why Jesus was anointed, and I'm quoting now from Psalm 45 and I think verse 9 in Hebrews, the first chapter, I think somewhere in Hebrews, the first chapter. One of the reasons why God anointed Jesus is because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. See, people don't understand that there is such a thing as hating ungodliness. Real Christians hate sin. Now, see, where some people get messed up is they hate sinners. We're not talking about hating sinners. God doesn't hate sinners. He loves sinners, but he hates their sin because their sin will drag them to hell. Their sin is going to cause them to be alienated from him forever. God doesn't hate sinners, but he hates the sin. No, God does not hate homosexuals, but he hates homosexuality. He hates it so much he wiped 2 cities off the face of the earth. Because of that sin. Amen? God hates adultery because he sees that it destroys families, and he says that it cheats him out of a godly seed. That's what he said in Malachi, the 2nd chapter. I hate divorce. He says, why have you done this? You're cheating me out of a godly seed. You have dealt treacherously with your wives. Amen. God hates these things. He hates the shedding of innocent blood. God hates abortion. Amen. But God forgives those who have fallen into this. God loves them. He forgives them. It's not the unpardonable sin, folks. And homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and such were some of you. But now you're washed. But now you're sanctified. But now you're justified by the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can wash away my sin? No matter what the sin is, the blood of Jesus, he's able to save to the utmost. He's able to cleanse everyone that comes to him by Christ Jesus. Amen? You condemn the guilty. Today it's just the opposite. They condemn the innocent and they let the guilty off. We've seen it. We have watched on television. We have watched, we've been glued to TV watching court cases of famous people that the evidence was so overwhelming. And we've watched these people get off and people cheer. And later on, once they're past being able to be, you know, double jeopardy, you can't try them the second time once they get off. They admit to their guilt. Because that's the day we live in. If you're a celebrity, people will forgive you things. Because people are, like I said, people are celebrity crazy and celebrity conscious in this world. Okay? So we don't do those things. We do not exploit people just because they're poor or they're fatherless or they live with single mothers or they're orphans. People that cannot defend themselves. Amen? We defend the weak, the fatherless, and the poor. In fact, the Bible teaches us that that's what real Christians do. James said in James 1:27, true religion, true Christianity and undefiled is to help the poor, the motherless, the widows, the orphans. That's true Christianity. Amen. He that doeth these things shall never be moved.
Amen. What a sin-busting, devil-chasing message. Will the real Christian please stand up? It's time for everyone who names the name of the Lord to depart from iniquity. If you're not living right, don't call yourself a Christian and get out of the church until you're ready to walk the talk. It's time for Christian celebrities to lay down their titles and take up their towels of humility and wash the feet of the saints and serve the body of Christ. It's time for the righteous of this generation who stand in God's holy hill behind the pulpits and lecterns of Christianity to purify their hearts and cleanse their hands. And it's time for all of us to prepare ourselves for the onslaught of religious, especially anti-Christian persecution that is being unleashed in our nation and will only increase as perilous times are here. If you are stirred by this clarion call of the Holy Spirit and you want to hear this message again and or share it with others, request offer number SK162 and send a love gift of $10 or more to support this radio ministry and help us keep the message, messages like this, will the real Christian please stand up, on the air. Send $10 or more to R.G. Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203, and request offer number SK162. Or if you prefer, go online and order at www.rghardy.org. That's rghardy.org. Remember, your love gift will help to keep messages like this on the radio. So order your copy today. Until next time, God bless you and Maranatha.